What policies determine the fate of home foreclosures in Wayne County? It's a pretty simple question, but it turns out the answer is not so simple. Jerry Paffendorf is with Loveland Technologies. He asked through the Freedom of Information Act what policies Wayne County Treasurer Eric Sabree's office uses to determine how some tax delinquent homes get pulled from auction and how it's determined others are auctioned. Jerry Paffendorf joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Lester. It's good to be here.
So what did you really want to know about the treasurer's policy?
Well, some folks might know that Wayne County and Detroit have foreclosed on more than 150,000 properties over the last decade or so. So it's just an awful lot of homes that have been seized for failure to pay back taxes and auctioned to the highest bidder. But about 50,000 of these homes were occupied. And if you compare Detroit to the rest of the state, it has about two-thirds of all foreclosures in the state. And it has about 7% of the population of Michigan. So the situation is really off the charts. And the law that the treasurer follows to conduct foreclosure is pretty clear in its timeline. Basically says when you're 3 years tax delinquent, the treasurer takes your property, auctions it, and the foreclosure is supposed to happen on March 31st of that third year. So, you know, as a nerd who's been trying to follow this and trying to advocate for better outcomes, reduce foreclosures, help people keep their homes, all of this, I got really interested that the system wasn't really like changing. Like people could see that it was a problem, but they weren't really doing a lot on the legal or policy side to say, how are we going to cut this out? Seeing that, you know, I started to investigate like, okay, these are crushing numbers. How is this actually working? Are things being filed on time? Are they actually following the state law, the timelines of the state law? And that's when things got really interesting. So I did a bunch of FOIA requests. I got like the actual documents that the treasurer submits to a judge who rules the properties foreclosed. And these documents are quite binding. I mean, this is a legal ruling of tax foreclosure, but the treasurer doesn't go and file these foreclosures. They kind of keep it in a, what I'll call a secret system, because nobody knows how it works. You know, basically have a spreadsheet internally. And after the foreclosure dates, they allow some people to redeem their property. So some people can come in and pay late. Sometimes they accept partial payments. Sometimes they make people pay the whole thing. And then some people aren't allowed to redeem their properties late. And so looking at this, and I just really needed to understand what discretion and what power does the treasurer have to choose which properties get foreclosed and which don't, because the evidence makes it clear that they do not follow the law as it's laid out. So what decision-making process are they following?
Sure, you wanted to see the policy.
You've got to see it when you're taking people's property and at this scale.
So what were you told when you made that request?
Well, so I filed the FOIA asking for their official policy on what they choose to foreclose on and when. And I received, after you know, an initial ask for more time and a delay, I received a denial to my FOIA saying that the office certified that the records do not exist. And they said, if you want to appeal the denial, you can do so to County Executive Warren Evans. So I sent my denial to Warren Evans' office. And after a little while, I just got a note back earlier this week saying that they'd spoken to the treasurer's office to confirm that the treasurer has no formal tax foreclosure policy. And so I wrote back to them asking, what do you do as a citizen, as a resident, when you've gone through all these channels, all these steps over, you know, months, more than a year at this point, just to say that we can't give you an answer because we don't have anything formal? What is the next step to understand what's actually happening? That's the question that I have right now.
Well, the assumption is the treasurer has the sole discretion to make these decisions, right?
Yes, and which is really not the way. I mean, look, I get that probably in every office, everybody has to interpret the law, right? And there can be valid arguments over like, what does this law mean? But I think if you're doing that, the thing that you certainly need to do along with it is let people know how you are interpreting the law. You need to explain what that policy actually is, because there are people who are foreclosed who don't come into the office because their property is already taken. So they never even try. And then there's people that show up and try to get their property back and they're told no. And then there are people who come in maybe with the right story at the right time, right, to hit somebody's emotions or there's a witness. There was a story the other day about a woman in a wheelchair who had lost her home for $5,000, went to the treasurer's office, was crying because they told her she could not get it back. And a businessman, as the newspaper article put it, overheard her crying, learned the story, plunked down $5,000 and received, got her home back. And there are other people who've tried similar things and been told no. So what is the policy? This is not like a speeding ticket where it's like, yeah, he was going 50 and a 45, but I'm going to let him go. There's a social moray around this. This is literally people losing homes and property. And that needs to be very clearly tracked and made fair in the chain of title so that everybody has the same opportunity. And if the system's not working, then we need to work on changing the law, not hiding the fact that we make stuff up just to get by.
So what do you do next?
That's a great question. I'm going to keep following up with the county executive's office. Hopefully they realize that it's absurd that with the scale of foreclosure, that the answer is there is no formal policy. I do think that part of the reason why there might be some hesitancy to share is that the county could be on major shaky legal ground. It's no light thing to take people's properties away and sell them. Hopefully I'll get an answer back from the executive or the treasurer.
Jerry, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Let's turn now to Nancy Kaffer, a columnist with Detroit Free Press. You've been writing about the foreclosure issue a lot recently. What do you make of this FOIA denial? Because there is no written policy for how the county treasurer decides what tax foreclosures go to auction and which ones do not.
I think it really confirms the way it has seemed from the outside for years now. You'll hear the treasurer talk about various stories that he's heard, people who are in different circumstances, and how he's tried to help those people. I was at a land bank meeting a couple weeks ago where they were starting a pilot program that would offer some tax forgiveness to impoverished residents, and the land bank staff was worried about the timeline, and he said, oh, don't worry, we'll make sure those people you're worried about don't get foreclosed on. So from the outside, it has really appeared that there is not a lot of rhyme or reason to how things are taken in and out of the auction. So it really, it's almost like, oh, hey, you're not crazy. This is, what's happening is crazy, but none of us trying to examine what we're going on, we're misunderstanding. It's not the way you expect government to operate, but it is the way government has been seeming to operate when it comes to the Wayne County tax foreclosure auction.
Okay, so let's take a look at this from the bottom line. What is the big concern if the treasurer's office is using its own discretion about how to handle tax foreclosures?
So I can make a very process argument here that I think that people like you and I would be very sympathetic to, that when you have one person essentially asking people to trust his judgment and making decisions based on his own criteria, that's not democracy. There's not rules for this system that regular people know how to play by. There's not fairness. I personally believe that the tax foreclosure law, as it works here in Michigan, is bad. I think it's a bad law. I think it needs to be revisited, but it's only fair if it is evenly applied. And if it's not being evenly applied, it's being applied at the whim of one person without any set of rigorous standards that determine who gets a special break and who doesn't. That's not democracy. That's sort of government by fiat. That process argument is I think, a good one. It's one that I feel very strongly about. But then sort of in the more, detailed ways that this could go wrong is who is getting these exceptions. There's no benchmark to measure what the treasurer says he's doing against what those outcomes are. I mean, we can look at the rolls and see who doesn't get auctioned and who gets, and who does. Are these people that an elected official might know, or are they people that they have a connection with? Is it depending on if you can get the ear of the treasurer, are you able to get an exemption? How are you getting the ear of the treasurer? And this is, again, me sort of generally speculating about the ways that this could be unfairly, particularly unfairly applied. Is the treasurer who says he wants to help vulnerable Detroiters stay in their homes, what is the balance between, in his mind, vulnerable Detroiters and, for example, businesses or landlords or absentee landlords? Like, we don't have a matrix to understand why he's making these decisions, so we can't evaluate them.
Right. The complaint being there are a lot of these LLCs that are mm-hmm. owned by foreign corporations or out-of-state corporations. Mm-hmm. They buy the property, it sits, it deteriorates, and there goes the neighborhood again. I want to get back to your statement about the tax foreclosure laws in Michigan being bad. Tell me why you think it's bad statewide.
So in Detroit, I think that we have a very unique situation because we've had such disinvestment and such population loss in the city that, to my mind, the value of an occupied home, the value of someone living in that home, doing their part to keep the neighborhood together, keeping up that home, even if there's someone who lives in poverty, with the resources that they are able to put into being a part of the fabric of the city, outweighs whatever meager tax dollars that you're going to wrest out of this modest property. So to me, the math doesn't make sense. We're displacing this home. We're going to sell it at auction. And in the process, we're further deteriorating the fabric of our neighborhoods. That to me is what really doesn't make sense about this law as it plays out in Detroit and Wayne County, is because it's just really different conception of the value of land. Statewide, I have concerns about how the law is structured, because there are the state law allows treasurers to charge interest on back taxes and fees. And in a lot of counties around Michigan, not just Wayne County, but in Macomb County and other counties up north, counties have started to look at these foreclosure-centered revenues as sort of a, oh, look, here's a pot of money that's coming in that we can use to bond out for roads. We can use to put into this project. There's been some ways in which this is now seen as sort of an exciting pot of money. But that's not good government, because you don't want to fund county operations off the misfortunes, i.e., falling behind on your taxes, of its residents. It's like the goal should be building this functional fabric, not trying to get money out of people who don't really have it in the first place.
Nancy Kaffer is a columnist with the Detroit Free Press. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Lester.
We reached out to a spokesman for Treasurer Sabree to offer a chance to respond on the show and discuss the issues Jerry Paffendorf raised. That spokesman responded, quote, "We are doing everything we can to keep people in their homes. We declined the interview," end quote.